verse of Philippians chapter 3. I've got 2 points tonight, and the title of my message is Pursue Christ. Paul said in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the high prize of the calling in Christ Jesus. Paul was saying, I'm pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ and to know Him. And the 2 points tonight are Paul's admonition and Paul's motivation. Let's read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Help me, I pray, to preach a message that would honor and glorify You. And Father, that would be a challenge and a help to us. Father, we thank You and praise You for all that You will accomplish. And we ask for Your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul's admonition. First of all, he said this, finally, my brethren. And then he goes on to write 2 chapters. Kind of like many preachers, you know, they say, well, finally or lastly, and then they go on and on and on. Well, Paul wasn't done yet. But anyway, he said this, rejoice in the Lord. Think about that for a minute. Rejoice in the Lord. One of the keys to victorious living is learning to rejoice in the Lord. And Paul knew how to rejoice in Jesus Christ, did he not? You go back to Acts chapter 16, and that's when Paul had the vision. He saw a man, he said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Macedonia is where the city of Philippi was. And do you remember what happened to him when he was in Philippi? Well, first of all, they met Lydia there, and they led Lydia, the Bible says, God opened her heart and she got saved. They also met a young damsel who had a spirit of divination. And after Paul preached and talked to her, she gave that up, and they weren't happy about that because those that made gain out of that woman were now angry at Paul. And they threw Paul and Silas in prison. They locked him in the stocks. His feet and his hands were in the stocks. Did that discourage Paul? Do you remember what Paul and Silas did? They prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. How about it? If you and I got thrown into a prison like that, and by the way, it's not like today's prisons, not where he was at that time. Here, when he's writing Philippians, he's in Rome. And that's a little bit of a different situation, isn't it? But when he was in prison in Philippi, he was in a dungeon. He was in a dark, very dungy place, if you will. And can you imagine being in stocks, not being able to move? And yet, they prayed and sang praises to the Lord. Paul was not a defeated person, was he? Paul learned to rejoice. He says in Philippians 1:18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Pastor actually covered that this morning in his morning's message. But here he is, you know, that some were preaching Jesus Christ to try and make it more difficult for Paul. But you know what? Paul didn't say, "You know, woe is me, they're trying to make it difficult for me." No, he said, "You know what? I'm just going to rejoice that Christ is preached." You know, we have a lot of difficulties in this life. And God never said it would be easy, did He? But He said He would help us. You and I need to take Paul's admonition to rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Paul wrote that as well. He said, "Rejoice evermore." That's the power of proper thinking. Listen, we have something to rejoice about. You know, so often we get our roots so dug in this world, and things don't go our way, and we get down in the dumps, if you will, and we get discouraged. But listen, this isn't our home, is it? In fact, we'll get to that at the end of chapter 3 here. Paul says our citizenship, which is in heaven, our conversation, which is in heaven, that's talking about our citizenship. This isn't our home, is it? And so while we're here, we need to work and serve the Lord. And, you know, I think of even here in chapter 2 and verse 30, talks about Epaphroditus. He was sick. Why? Because of the work of the Lord. He was busy. He hazarded his own life. Paul hazarded his life. We read of him how he was shipwrecked and beaten and on and on. But did that stop Paul? Not at all. Paul learned to rejoice in the Lord, and he's telling the Christians here in Philippi to rejoice in the Lord. But also I see this, and I tried to alliterate this a little bit. He also warned them to reject the liars. We see in verse 2, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." Beware of dogs is a metaphor for those that are impure and dangerous. In Paul's day, dogs ran around in packs, kind of like in Mexico, if any of you have ever been there in Mexico. Sorry, Annie, I know you love dogs, and dogs, we've got them trained now where they're beautiful, wonderful pets, but they weren't always like that. The dogs would run around, and they were kind of dirty and, you know, matted up because nobody took care of them. And it might have been like in Mexico, you know, they're looking for food, and, you know, you don't want those dogs even come near you. You don't know what they have. They got some kind of disease or whatever. You go bend down like you're going to pick up a stone, and, of course, they know what that means, and they run off. He said, "Beware of dogs." What do dogs do? God likens us to what? Sheep. Do you think a pack of wild dogs is something a sheep would be afraid of? They would, wouldn't they? And Paul is just warning them about these evil workers. He says, not only that, not only beware of dogs, he says, beware of evil workers. The word evil means depraved, bad. These were bad people. In Paul's eyes, because they were teaching lies. They were teaching things that are wrong. And then he says, beware of the concision. That word there means mutilators. They desired to circumcise, to cut. Circumcision was part of the Old Testament Judaism, which had been rendered null and void by the cross of Christ. And in Colossians 2:11 it says, "In whom ye also are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Paul's saying, beware of these evil workers who would glory in putting you back under the law. They would glory in cutting your flesh. Mutilators. You and I don't need to be circumcised. We're circumcised in heart because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to what Galatians 6:13 says, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. And true circumcision is of the heart, not in the cutting of the flesh." But Paul was saying, beware of these people that try to put you back under the law. Beware of those that would teach that you're saved through the works of the flesh or the working and obeying the law. Look at what he says here in verse 3. He says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Listen, we don't have any confidence in anything that we do. I can't deserve heaven no matter what I do. I can't do anything like I've heard, I think even Ms. Schweitzer said this, we can't do anything to make God love us any more or any less. God loves us with an everlasting love. And so he says here, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. And we don't have any confidence in the flesh. Then he goes on to say in verse 4 and through there, he said, if anybody has confidence in the flesh, he said, I more. Circumcised on the eighth day. What is he saying? He was brought up Jewish. He was brought up in Judaism. And he says in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day, verse 5, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, which was a superior tribe, the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, I'm Jewish through and through. And he says, as touching law, a Pharisee. What do we know about the Pharisees? They strictly followed the law. They knew the law. And Paul followed the law. He was brought up that way. But yet Paul didn't have any peace. Just like many today don't have any peace if they think they can work their way to heaven. So what he says, concerning zeal. Was anybody any more zealous than what Paul was? Remember when he was on his way to Damascus, on the Damascus Road? He was going there to arrest and put Christians in prison. And that day, a great light shone upon him. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke to him and said, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard to kick against the pricks. Paul knew that it was tough trying to obey the law. In fact, he said in another place he had one of the problems he had was lust. In other words, not necessarily a lust for women or anything like that, but the lust of the flesh. Listen, you and I all battle that. We battle that. And the law forbid that. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. And he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things, but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Aren't you glad about that? Jesus Christ became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We have God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ alone. No works. So Paul's admonition is rejoice in the Lord, reject these liars. And then Paul's motivation. By the way, I thought of this as I read this, and I thought this is a good New Year's message for all of us. May Paul's motivation be our motivation this year. Listen to what he said in verse 10. This is his motivation, that I may know him. Let's just stop right there. No one can live a holy life without a life dedicated to the purpose of knowing Jesus Christ. Listen, the way we get to know him is by spending time with him. You know, you may know some people that you've met along the way, but if you didn't know them very well, they're soon forgotten, aren't they? You and I, through the course of our life, will meet people. And some we'll get to know, and some we'll just get to know casually, and we soon forget about them. But many, I'm kind of getting off track here, but the is this, you know, in order for us to know Jesus Christ, we've got to spend time in prayer and in reading God's Word. And may we do that this year. May we make it our pursuit to know Christ by spending time with Him, getting to know Him. You know why our children act like we do? It's not just because they are flesh of our flesh. Because you could take, and which they are, but you know what? A lot of our children have mannerisms just like we do. Where do they get that? As they grew up with us. I would go into Staples, and when my son worked there, and you know, people say, "Yeah, I can tell you're Andrew's father. He walks like you, and he has mannerisms like you, and so forth." Now, Andy would not like to hear that, because he doesn't want to be like Dad, and I don't blame him. I don't want to be like me either, but anyway, I am. Can't do anything about it. But you know why he does that? Because he's seen me walk. He's seen my mannerisms. He spent time with me because he's my child. Did you ever hear about husband and wife as they grow older together? They become more like each other? I know you don't want to admit that, but you know, we spend time together, do we not? And we get to know each other. And you know what? I heard this just the other day. Somebody tell me this. When I first got married, I thought I loved my wife, but I really didn't. They said, you know what? I love her now. Can you say the same thing? I can say the same thing. You know, and I've told my wife that. You know, I love her more today than I did when we got married. Because I thought I loved her. But you know, I'm still learning to love. And the more I get to know her, the more I love her. And I hope the more she gets to know me, the more she loves me. But think about this, folks. The more we get to know the perfect Son of God, who's so good to us, don't you think we're going to love Him more? I mean, you and I are imperfect. Our spouses are imperfect. But Jesus Christ is perfect. God is perfect. And if we get to know Him and learn of Him, the longer I know Him. How's that song? The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows, the sweeter, something like that. I could probably sing it, but I'd butcher it. But anyway, you know, the longer we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the sweeter He grows. And the more we love Him. And Paul's pursuit and passion was that I might know Jesus Christ. You know what, Kent? Don't you think that would be a good pursuit for us this year? To know the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to this. Many people have lived a life dedicated to lesser purposes and goals, such as being the greatest basketball player. I still remember when I was a younger person and Michael Jordan was a star basketball player. I would see guys out there on the basketball court trying to emulate everything Michael Jordan did, including sticking their tongue out just like he did. How many ever seen that? Pastor, you have. They would wear their Air Jordans and they would try to emulate exactly like Michael Jordan. And I used to kind of chuckle. That's not a very good goal to be like Michael Jordan, is it? How about the greatest performer? We've got people who will hang posters of some of their great performers that they love. And they try to look like them. They may even get tattoos or piercings like these performers do. And that's their goal and their pursuit. They want to be like that famous person. How about becoming wealthy? Some people's life goal is to become financially independent, wealthy. I thought to myself, I wonder what old people, and I should know this because I've been there, done those things myself. But I thought, well, I'll just kind of look up something and just typed it in real quick. What do people look for in life goals? Here's what I found, enjoying life. Is there anything wrong with enjoying life? No, but how are you going to enjoy life? It goes back to what Pastor was saying this morning, having the peace of God and rejoicing in the Lord. Those are the things, you know, if you do what God says you're to do, doesn't mean you'll be happy. And like he said, you can be sad and still have peace. But what they want is they just want to enjoy life. Listen, remember, this isn't our home. There's a lot of things I sometimes would rather do. You hear me? Some of you probably go to work and think, boy, I'd rather be fishing. I still remember one fella I worked with when I worked at the snack food company had a bumper sticker. He didn't have it on the back of the truck. I don't know why, but he had it inside the truck. And he said something about a bad day of fishing is better than a good day of work or something like that. And you know, you see those types of things. You know, they would rather be out fishing than working. By the way, wouldn't you sometimes rather be, I mean, if you be honest, there may be a day where I'd rather be hunting than visiting somebody in a hospital. You know, those kind of things. But for us as Christians, this is not all about us. It's about serving the Lord. We're to work, for the night cometh when no man can work. Right now, we're to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the other ones was being healthy. Nothing wrong with trying to be healthy, is it? But remember Epaphroditus? He was sick because, it says here in verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. You know, it's great to, you know, to eat healthy and to try to be healthy. I think we ought to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen? But that's not what life's goal is all about. If I'm serving Christ and, you know, you talk about some of the missionaries that go to places where there's malaria and all kinds of diseases and so forth. Do you think, well, I don't want to go there because I want to be healthy? How about it, Becky? Some of the places you go, there's a lot of diseases and sickness that you could catch. You could get. But your pursuit is to live for Jesus Christ. That's your goal. Another one is to be happy. Financial freedom. Pursuing passions and ideals. You know, I like to hunt as much as anybody. But I still struggle with it sometimes. Sometimes I think, Lord, am I really doing right by doing this? Should I give it up? You know, there are people who spend money like you wouldn't believe. Spend time and hours and so forth to pursue what? To put a deer head on the wall? Think about it, guys. Really. Is that your goal? Is that your passion in life? Is there anything wrong with hunting? Of course not. Nothing wrong with it at all. In its right place. And I use that because that hits home with me. But there's other things. You know, we'll pursue passions and ideals because, for whatever reason, to get a trophy. Who cares? You know what happens to a lot of trophies? I've known people have trophies, 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 and after a while it's like, what do I do with these things? They're trash. There comes a point in time where they mean nothing. And you know, when we stand before God one day, He's not going to say, hey, Pastor Terry, wow, you spent all that money and all that time, and that is a nice buck. That's rubbish, right? That's what Paul said. I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ, that I might know Him. That was his passion. That was his goal. He says, Philippians 3:8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul's goal and passion was to know Christ. Paul not only met Him, but Paul's passion was to know Him. Listen, you and I met Jesus Christ when we put our faith and trust in Him. But it doesn't stop there. Now we need to build a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to spend time with Him. We need to pray and talk to Him. And we need to allow Him to talk to us and teach us from His Word. There's a difference in meeting someone and knowing someone. We all, I jumped ahead there. To know someone that takes genuine interest and involves spending quality time with them, listening, talking, building a relationship with that person. It's not something that happens in a short time. It could take years to really know someone. Listen, I don't know about you, but I like what Paul said. Paul said, I haven't arrived. Listen, when I preach a message like this, I think about this. You know what? I need to make this my goal in life, that I might know Jesus Christ. There's no greater goal than to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater passion than to know Him. And we need to spend time with Him, getting to know Him. Surely I have here, there's no greater goal in life than to know the Creator of the universe, the Savior of our souls, the One who knows every minute detail of our lives, the One who cares more for us than anyone, the One who wants the very best for us, the One who is willing to sacrifice Himself so that we could spend an eternity with Him. He knows us. He wants us to get to know Him. And if we do these things, which leads me to my last sub-point, we'll be more like Him. Let's just read verses 10 again. It says, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then he says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Look at verse 17, if you would. It says, brethren, he says this. Oh, I'm sorry. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have for us an example. And here's what he says. Listen, he's saying, listen, follow my example of pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for many walk of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Those who are unsaved, their end is destruction. Their end is the lake of fire. And we need to care for them. It says this, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. May that not be said of us. Let's not be worldly. Let's not mind earthly things. Let's have our mind on heavenly things, the things that matter, getting to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and being like Him, learning of Him. He's humble, He's meek, He cares. Those are the kinds of things. He cares for the lost, and you and I need to care for the lost. And he says in verse 24, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking? Are you ready for His return? He says this in verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to do subdue all things unto Himself. Oh, to be like Him. If we're going to be like Him, we're going to have to get to know Him. And like I said earlier, you know, our children often act a lot like us because they've spent time with us. And many of our children wouldn't want that. I remember today I find myself doing things my dad did. Things that I would tell my dad, Dad, you know, I was like, how about it? Any of you like that, or am I the only one? Anyway, my wife's got to try to straighten me out sometimes. I'll give you one example. I wasn't gonna, but I'll go ahead and do it. Who said that? Shane, you said that? Go ahead. Well, one of the things my dad would do was when he would eat, he would be noisy. My son will be, my son Andrew, he's not here so I can say this, but I'd be sitting at the table eating, and he'd look at me, and that's all he'd have to do is look at me. I knew what I was doing. I was eating like my dad. You know? And just the other day, I like being open and transparent. I hope you don't mind. My wife gets on me about saying certain things, and she's in the nursery, so I hope the sound's turned on. But the other day, I burped, and she said, "Honey, you used to talk to your dad about that." And she said, "I've been noticing you've been doing that." And it's like, "Really? I didn't realize I was." And it's like, I got to be more careful now. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be uncouth, if you will. I want to be mannerly, right? I'm like my dad. And Aaron, I hope you're not like your dad. Spending time. You know what we want to be like? We want to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we need. We need to spend time with Him. Now I want to close with just a couple of verses. I want you to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. These verses are familiar to you, I'm sure. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Listen, we're going to have to know God. We're going to have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we know Him, we're going to experience grace and we're going to experience peace. But we've got to know Him. Now I want you to look at just a few more verses here in 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's start with verse 14. Paul wrote Philippians, the book of Peter. Peter wrote it, right? All right, look what he says here. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Peter is referring back to Paul and the things that Paul wrote, and he says this, "as also in all his epistles," verse 16, "speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore," speaking to those of us that are saved, "beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Listen, we do need to be careful that we're not led away with error. If we don't know this book, it can happen. You know, that's why a lot of people, you know, sometimes we'll win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we don't disciple them and ground them, somebody from a false religion comes along and loves them and cares for them and leads them down into the false religion that they're into, right? Happens often. In fact, I've heard it said of some of the cults that they love finding those that the Baptists have won to the Lord, have a disciple, they make good disciples for them. Something to that extent. It says in verse 18, though, "but," okay, don't be led astray with error, "but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Listen, we need to grow in grace, that which affords joy and delight, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I submit to you, there's only one way to get that. It's right here. You've got to be in God's Word and learn what He has to teach us. Listen, you're going to get it from the pulpit. But if that's all you get, that's not enough. You need to be in your Word, in the Bible, every chance you get. I like to say every day. And we need to pray, and pray often. And may Paul's motivation be our motivation this year, that I might know Him and that I might be like Him. Amen? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be faithful to your Bible reading. Be faithful to your prayer time. Be faithful to the services in God's house. And beware of all that other stuff. Let's not pursue goals that mean nothing. Listen, I'm not saying we can't do some of that. But our goal in life ought not be to win a trophy or whatever it might be, or to gain financial wealth so that we can sit back and take thine ease. God says, thou fool, if we be that way. But our goal in life ought to be to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be like Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you.